he had been using mind-altering substances.
A homecoming doesn't lead to domestic bliss.
So why don't you leave?
I had nowhere to go. I had stopped working to prepare to get the house ready for him.
And an ex is left with nothing.
For 6 months, you lived together, and he supported you.
She really wasn't even working because she was just worried that I was going to cheat on her.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. 26-year-old Natasha Tabrizi is suing her ex-boyfriend, 22-year-old Jermaine Jelks, for a loan for home repairs and furniture and for emotional distress.
Order. All rise.
Now, it's case number 565 on the calendar in the matter of Tabrizi versus Jelks.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ladies, have a seat.
Mr. Tabrizi, Mr. Jelks was your boyfriend at one time. According to your complaint, he was incarcerated for a period of time. And while he was incarcerated, there were some friends that he had that were living in his house. Is this a house that you own, sir, or rented?
My own.
While he was incarcerated, these people lived there, but when he was getting ready to get out of jail, according to you, he evicted these friends,
yes.
Told them to leave. And he asked you to go in and sort of straighten up the place and get it ready. That's what this lawsuit is about. You claim, Ms. Tabrizi, that you went into the house. Not only did you clean it up, but it was a terrible mess, trashed. You bought new furniture. You spent a lot of money to fix it up. Mr. Jelks was released from prison when, sir?
April 1st, it was, I believe.
And the two of you were living together at that point, is that right?
Correct.
When he was released, you were working?
I was not working at that moment.
So you weren't working. And you, were you working?
No, I wasn't.
How were you supporting yourselves after April of 2012?
I had stopped working to prepare to get the house ready for him.
How were you supporting yourself is my question.
He receives per cap from the Indian reservation that he belongs to in Minnesota, so he receives monthly payments on the first of every month.
So you were living off of his payments that he receives from the Indian reservation?
Correct.
I'm curious, what do you receive from the Indian reservation?
I receive about $10,000.
$10,000 a what, a year?
A month.
$10,000 a month?
Yeah.
For how long?
We'll say a couple years.
What, was this some sort of settlement?
It was because our casino had sold some of our land to a power plant or whatever.
So it was some sort of a settlement?
Yeah.
And you got a structured settlement? So that you didn't get all the money at one time, you get it monthly.
Yes.
Okay. So, Mr. Tabrizi, you were living with him. He was paying the bills. It is your claim that some reason you couldn't keep up with the payments on this furniture and stuff, so you took out a consolidated loan.
Correct.
For $6,000.
Correct.
That you want him to pay.
Correct.
I'm ready. Go.
I had credit cards, and he would receive his per cap payment on the first of the month. By the fourth of the month, we would be broke because he would purchase Jordan tennis shoes. Then I would use my credit cards to charge the shoes.
What do you mean? How would he use your credit cards unless you gave it to him?
We went together, and he said he would always pay me back the first of the next month.
Wouldn't he pay his own bills? Keep going.
And so he always said that he would pay me back the first of the month. Then the first of the month would roll around again. He would get paid within the first 2 days. He would take the money, go purchase all the new Michael Jordan tennis shoes that would come out on the release dates. He would camp overnight for them, camp for hours, for days, waiting for them to come out.
So he did this in April, he did this in May, he did it in June, he did it. So why didn't you leave? Why didn't you leave? Why didn't you cut off the credit cards?
I had no other place to go.
Your Honor, she had places to go. She could have went and stayed with her parents, Your Honor, her...
Do you owe her any money, sir?
No, I don't.
Did you ever tell her you would pay her any money?
No, I didn't.
Did she ever contribute towards the household?
Every once in a while, when she had a little bit of money, I guess.
Where was she working after May?
After May?
April, she didn't work, she said. Where was she working in May?
She had found a job, like, but she really wasn't even working because she was just... was worried that, like, thinking I was going to cheat on her. So, like, she didn't want to work. That was a reason for not wanting to work.
What kind of job?
Working at a restaurant.
What's the name of the restaurant? Do you remember?
I can't remember.
What's the name of the restaurant?
Saks Sports Bar in Vandas Heights.
And how many hours a week did you work there?
About 35.
For how long?
About 3 weeks.
And after that, where, if anywhere, did you work?
I did not have a job after that.
So he was supporting you?
Yes. But I also had used the money in my savings account.
Show me your savings account.
This is, they have printed this up to date.
This is 2013. We're talking about 2012.
The bank account that I had while I dated him was through Wells Fargo, which they had.
So what did you give this to me for?
They took my money in my savings account from Wells Fargo, and I had it transferred into this new bank account.
I want to see. You said you used your savings to live on in 2012. May, June, July. When did you finally separate?
It was in October.
October. So April, May, June, July, August, September. So for 6 months, you lived together, and he supported you. And what you contributed was the $6,000 or $1,000 a month towards your living.
Correct.
Well, you don't get that back. Why would you get that back?
He had promised to pay me back always.
I don't believe that at all. I think you were living together and playing house, and he was supporting you, and you were using your credit cards. When you were using credit cards, you know, when people live together, doesn't work out. You got to keep things separate. Now you say that he has furniture that you're paying for.
Yes.
Do you have any of her property?
No, I don't, ma'am.
Do you still live in the house?
No, I don't.
When did you move out of the house?
I moved out, fully moved out December. But I was having, like, all my stuff was there. And mind you this, while she was staying there, like, why I didn't want to be there after we had broken up, so I just had my stuff there. My house had got robbed for all my shoes that I had. And mind you this, I didn't get one phone call from her or my friend that I let stay there letting me know my house had got robbed. I had to get a call from the police, them telling me, like, sir, do you know your house has been robbed? And I was like, no, I hadn't received any of that information. And then this was when she was staying there, too, you know what I mean? So
you don't know who has your shoes?
Nope. And I wasn't called.
Who's living there now?
No one. It's going to be put up for rent.
It's going to be put up for rent?
Yeah, because I own it.
Why don't you live there anymore?
I just don't like the neighborhood. I've stayed there for too long, you know, past memories and stuff like that.
Anything else you want to tell me?
That's it, Your Honor.
Anything else you want to tell me? I want you to think of it this way, Mr. Breezy. In a six-month period, which is when you lived together, when you were unemployed and he was supporting you, paying the bills, paying for everything, you using credit cards. So I want you to think of it this way so you don't feel too badly about it. That's $1,000 a month, $250 a week for rent, utilities, and food, and entertainment, and eating out, and everything else. That's a bargain. What?
Also, when I was with him, an issue I do have with him, I purchased two very small chihuahuas, and when he had been released out of prison, he had been using mind-altering substances. The issue I have with him, which really hurts me very bad, I came home from work one day and I found my two chihuahuas had hot sauce poured all over their chests. I had then asked Jermaine, what did you do to them? His mind was so beyond from the mind-altering substance, and I have photos that have pictures of that.
Where are your dogs now?
I had to give them up for adoption because I now had nowhere. I couldn't take care of them.
Can't help you with
that.
No,
I know. I know.
Can't help you with that. Goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you. Parties are excused. You may step out.
Everything was going to be fine. We were going to live a very great life. He then chose to use mind-altering substances.
Because she's the one on drugs. Like, clearly you've seen she started crying in there. Like she's on drugs crazy.
Which then led him to be the evil person that he is today.
The girl is crazy. Clearly she came here trying to bring me to court for something. I don't owe her no money for it.
Mentally, physically, emotionally abused.
I helped her out. She helped me, and that's just the end of it, you know?
Just, he made me a very mess.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter, Faulkner versus Durand. Step forward.
Jeanette Faulkner is suing her grandchild's maternal grandmother, Kathy Durand, for half the cost of a crib, mattress, and bedding.
How old is your son?
My son is 19.
How old is your daughter?
She is 19.
And how old is this child they made together?
3 months.
Great. And you're supposed to be the mature ones, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
So this is what your lawsuit is about. You claim that the defendant whose daughter had a baby and who she's supporting, because the daughter lives with her, along with your grandchild, that she said if you bought the crib, you actually called her and said, would you go halfies with me on the crib? According to you, she said, yes, she would go half with you on the crib as long as it wasn't more than $300. You bought the crib, you want the money.
Yes, ma'am.
Doesn't it sound ridiculous to you?
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
If you were my mother-in-law, I wouldn't let you in the birthing room. I didn't even want my husband in the birthing room. That were those times back then.
I stood in the hallway crying, Judge Judy.
Who cares?
Real cases, real people, Judge Judy. Jeanette Faulkner says her grandchild's maternal grandmother, Kathy Duran, owes for half the cost of a crib, mattress, and bedding. Kathy is countersuing for half the cost of the baby shower.
Is your son working?
He is not working at this time.
So I assume if he's not working, he's not supporting this child that he made.
No, he hasn't, but I have. I have contributed.
Well, tell me, every week, every other week, twice a month, once a month, or every once in a while?
Whenever they've asked me.
That's not support. Where's the crib?
At their home.
She says, I wasn't even going to mention it, but I made my daughter a baby shower, which I wouldn't have done. And plaintiff said that she would actually kick in some money for the baby shower, so I'm countersuing her for the baby shower. Also ridiculous. You have 30 seconds to tell me a story. I have other cases to do today that I'm actually more interested in. If you have two 19-year-old children who are dumb enough to make a child, it would seem to me that the last thing the two of you want to do is to fight with each other. The last thing. And I assume your son is not living home?
He is living with me.
Now he is. Prior to living with you, where was he living?
With my sister-in-law, my brother.
Is that because he was a problem?
No, it isn't.
You mean you let your teenager go live with somebody else, and then he lived with her? For 2.5 months. When he was living with her for 2.5 months, did you support him?
I gave him whatever he asked me for, whatever he needed.
Not him. Her. Rent. Gas. Electric. Food.
No, I didn't. I didn't give her anything. He wasn't even living there.
Where was he living?
He lived at my brother's house and he lived with me. He did not live at her house. He did not live in the Duran's home.
I don't believe you. You want to give me the 30 seconds that I offered you before? Or you just want to say, let's try to be good grandmas. You have a 3-month-old baby. Believe me, both these two 19-year-old idiots are going to need all the support that they're going to get. They're going to need time and money, and you're going to want to see your grandchild.
Right, and I've seen her 8 times since she's been born.
Well, you think that this is going to help?
Born,
do you think
the grandmother here told me that, don't worry, we'll be able to have you in the birthing room when she's there. I know the doctor. Do you know they both stood there right next to their daughter looking at me when the nurse said there are 3 people could be in there? Do you think the grandfather stepped down and let the 2 grandmothers be in there and witness the birth of their first grandchild? Child together? No.
Jeanette, that was the policy of the hospital.
Just a second.
I stood in the hallway crying, Judge Judy.
That's not my problem. That's your problem. You got to teach your son to keep his pants zipped and your daughter to keep her pants up, and then you don't find yourself in this situation. But as long as you find yourself in this situation, what you're supposed to do, first of all, if you were my mother-in-law, I wouldn't let you in the birthing room. That's just me. I didn't even want my husband in the birthing room. That were those times back then. But if you're my mother-in-law, I for sure don't want you in the birthing room. Maybe it was their daughter's wish that you not be there. I don't know. But the fact that you were upset, who cares? There's only one thing that you have to worry about, and that is you have a 3-month-old baby and 2 idiots for parents.
Right.
And I'm looking at 2 grandparents, and I'm getting the sense that, at least on one side, I haven't heard from this one yet, because she's going to tell me about a shower. You want to tell me about a shower?
Yes, I do, Your Honor.
No, I don't think you do.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
I sent her a message on Facebook letting her know everything that we had planned out for her, and she responded, oh, it sounds beautiful.
Fine, show me on Facebook.
Well, this is the thing, Your Honor.
Show me.
Real cases, real people, Judge Judy. Jeanette Faulkner says her grandchild's maternal grandmother, Kathy Duran, owes for half the cost of a crib,
mattress, and bedding. Kathy is countersuing for half the cost of the baby shower.
Now, I think the two of you ladies want to go outside and make arrangements for you to have quality time with your grandchild and have both grandparents spend quality time with this child, because the child needs all the love and affection they're going to get, and it doesn't start out with a lawsuit over a $300 crib or a baby shower.
Oh, there's more.
I don't want to hear anymore. You don't want to fuel the fire.
I don't.
It's no point.
This lady is vindictive, Your Honor. She's very vindictive.
You want to give me the 30 seconds for the crib, please?
My claim is to do with a phone call that was made in November to Kathy Duran asking her, but the children told me that they didn't have a crib. She told me that she'd pay for half of the crib, and I asked her how much she wanted to pay. And I told her, it said like $200, $300, and she said that was fine.
Well, what was it, $200 or $300? That's a contract. I have to know whether there's a contract. $200 is different from $300.
Well, the day the date of the purchase, I had called her, and I let her know because
You called her, and?
And I had found a nice crib. The baby didn't have a dresser or anything, so I got a combination dresser, changing table, and
fine,
crib.
That's good. And you called her and?
To let her know what the price was going to be for the total with the bedding and the mattress and everything.
And did you speak to her?
Her daughter was actually relaying between us.
No. Did you speak to her?
I did not.
That's not a contract.
Okay.
Contract you make when you speak one person to another, not through an intermediary, unless you have something in writing. Do you have anything in writing?
I do.
I'd like to see it. On November 29th, you wrote to her, hello, would you like for me to send the money with Chris? I assume that's her son. Is that right?
That is correct.
She received the mattress and the crib set yesterday. I hope Allison is happy with everything. So how much did you say you would give her?
There was never a proposal. There was never an amount.
Well, how much were you going to give to Chris? Listen to me, Ms. Duran.
I will.
You said, is it all right if I give the money to Chris? What were you going to give him?
In the money that she was asking for at the time, it was not $300.
No. That's not what I'm asking you.
Okay.
What I'm asking you is, you said, would you like for me to send the money with Chris?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, that's fine. How much were you going to send with Chris?
$150.
Great. $150. That's what she gets. $150.
Intentions in sending any money.
Now, you want to give me your 30 seconds on the baby shower? Let's go.
Okay. We had a baby shower for my daughter.
Great.
I never was intending to share the shower with Ms. Faulkner. However, she contacted my daughter and said that she would
pay
for
everything.
No,
you can't tell me what she said to your daughter. That's hearsay.
Okay. So I sent her a message on Facebook letting her know everything that we had planned out for her. And she responded. I even put an amount on there. There was $15 per person. I said, if we split it, it could be $650. And she said, oh, it sounds beautiful.
That's not a contract.
After that, there was no contact at all.
That's not a contract.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by.
Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
The fact $15 and it sounds beautiful is not a contract. A contract says, I will pay half.
Yes.
Fine. Show me on Facebook.
Well, this is the thing, Your Honor. Don't have a message.
No, I can't help you then.
But I have my witness here. That's all.
Not interested.
We share.
Not interested.
The same Facebook.
Not interested. Now, she says $300. I'd let you put the figure down. Would you like me to send the money with Chris? The money. Not how much would you like me to send with Chris? The money.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $150, your counterclaims dismissed. That's all. Out.
Judge, I have there.
That's out.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
You don't deny that you took a beer and threw it over his head.
I don't deny that.
Then she made an angry exit.
So you went to his apartment.
Yes.
What did you break?
Judge Judy.
Next on WVZ-TV.
We housed him in our house when he was kicked out of his aunt's house.
It's not true.
Never charged him rent. When we went out, we ate.
He did stay there.
He was right in there with the rest of my kids. Never charged him a cent.
Spend the night there, but he wasn't living there.
Unfortunately, when you don't have the same values and you don't have the same...
I'm not married. I don't have a husband. She does. And I'm a single parent, and I do the best that I can.
View for the future of your children it ends up like this.
Well, at least that we could be able to be together. What's going to happen when our granddaughter has her first birthday party?
That's my daughter's decision. I don't have to have communication with that type of family for this type of drama.
I mean, I believe we can. I really do.
You know, it's up to my daughter whether or not she wants them in her life, not me.